Good morning. It's good to see each of you. On Wednesday night, we were studying Genesis chapter 23, a very interesting text, and we've been reading, I think, a whole lot of interesting texts as we've been going through the book of Genesis with a lot of wonderful discussion. I've so much appreciated the comments that have been made and the things that we've been able to discuss together, and I know I'm learning quite a bit. On Wednesday, in Genesis chapter 23, we learned that Sarah passes away at the age of 127 years old, and Abraham mourns for her. After he mourns for her, he obviously needs to find a place to bury her. And so he has a certain area in mind, the cave of Machpelah. And so he goes and he visits the sons of Heth. He shows great respect to them. He bows down to them repeatedly throughout his interaction with the sons of Heth. And throughout this interaction with the sons of Heth and with Ephron, who owns the field, we see that they're saying, you know, Abraham, you can have it. You're a mighty prince. You can just have whatever you want. And he's saying, no, I want to pay for it. And over we have this back and forth between them. He's adamant that he wants to pay for it. And what was the reason why? Why do you think Abraham's wanting to pay for this? He doesn't want to be indebted. That's exactly right. He doesn't want to be indebted. He wants this to belong to them perpetually, belong to his family, this land. We talked about that not only would Sarah be buried there, but who else would be buried there long term? Abraham himself. Who else? Isaac. Rebekah. Jacob. And Leah. Right. Rachel was not buried there. So, I mean, this is pretty substantial on the part of Abraham that he's looking long term, that this is the land that was promised to him by God in the land of Canaan. And that's where he wants to have Sarah buried. So we talked about that, and we talked about how he purchased it for 400 shekels of silver. Today we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 24. It is a lengthy text. It's probably the lengthiest text that I've had so far in Genesis to teach. We have about 67 verses, and so there is a lot to talk about. I'm going to try to move quickly because we do want to cover all of it, but obviously as we read and as we study, I would appreciate any comments that you have. Let's look here at the first nine verses. We're going to look at some larger chunks here and there. The first nine verses of Genesis chapter 24. Now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, "Please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live, but you will go to my country and to my relatives, and take a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from which you came?" Then Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from my oath, or be free from this my oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning his master. So here in the first nine verses, the first thing that we are told is that after Sarah had passed away, Abraham is old, he's advanced in age. We are told that the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Blessed in every way. Back in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord spoke to Abraham and he made amazing promises to him there in the first three verses, as we've talked about so many times. And he's restated those promises over and over and over again to Abraham. This is another wonderful rose chart that she has created that shows that. Over and over again, you see as you go through the reading that we've gotten to, we're up in chapter 24. Repeatedly, God is reassuring Abraham of the promises and the blessings that he will give him if he follows him, and he does. And in this case, we're talking about the land promise, the great nation that would come from him, the seed promise that would come from him. What's interesting is Abraham, has he actually received any of these blessings yet as far as these? These are to come. And already, right here at the beginning of chapter 24, it is being said that the Lord blessed Abraham in every way. So the Lord's providing for him in every way. And he's also provided for him not just right now in his physical life. He's not even going to see this happen in his lifetime. He has blessings coming down the line. Blessings of the land of Canaan being for his descendants. Blessings of Israel being the great nation. Blessings of Jesus Christ coming from his seed. So it's pretty amazing, I think, that right here the Lord is blessing Abraham in every way. And there's even more coming. I think that's substantial. So even though he hadn't seen it yet, Abraham would see it, or he would not see it in his lifetime, but it would come to pass, and he believed in those blessings to come. What do we know about the servant of Abraham? What's something that we know about him as far as just a little bit about him? All right, he's old and trusted, is that what you said? Okay, what else could you say? What did you say, Tracy? He was the oldest of his house, that's right. He was the oldest of his house. He was the oldest of his household. He had charge over all that Abraham owned. Do you think Abraham trusted him? Yes, especially given the task that he's going to give him here. He's going to have him go and try to find a wife for his son Isaac. This is significant. So he trusts this servant that he will carry out this oath. So he's sending his most trusted servant to do so. What did the servant have to swear? He would not do what? You cannot take a wife from the women of this area, from the Canaanites. You cannot do it. He made him swear that. Yes. As a vow he took. That's right. And it's significant, too, that the vow, when it says in verse 2, please place your hand under my thigh, I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth. It's substantial that this is a vow that is a commitment to God. That's what Abraham's calling him to do. It's a commitment. And so he cannot take a wife from the daughters of the Canaanites where they live. Where does this wife have to come from? His country, his relatives. What was the response of the servant? Yeah, see, so then we see the hesitance of people again, kind of like with Lot, right? We see, well, what if, you know, she doesn't want to come back with me? You know, what do I do if I maybe find a woman from your relatives or from your household and she won't come back to this land? What do I do then? Well, Abraham offers some assistance here. He says, who's going to be sent? An angel. An angel of the Lord will go and aid you. And also he says, you know, what's going to happen if she won't come back with you? Will you be free from the oath? Yeah. This commitment we have right now, this oath that we are taking, you'll be free from it if the woman won't do what's required. You'll be free from it. How was this oath confirmed? Placing the hand under Abraham's thigh, swearing by the Lord, the God of heaven and of earth. Placing the hand under one's thigh signified a very serious oath. And we see that we're going to see that again here in Genesis later. But a very serious oath that is taken here, a very serious commitment that the servant would understand, you are going to be held to do this. You are bound to this. That is something very substantial here in these first 9 verses. So the servant has a task here. He's going to have to leave. He's going to have to go back to Abraham's land. He's going to have to find a wife for Isaac. I do also like how Abraham responds in verse 6. Then Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take a son or take my son back there. And exclamation point, you cannot take my son back to my father's land. And he goes through the promise again because this land is for us. It's for our descendants. You can't take him away from it. And you can understand why Abraham is acting this way and being adamant about it. He's in the twilight of his years. He might not know how many days he has left. He needs the servant to carry this out. He needs this commitment from him that Isaac will have a wife from his father's household and from his relatives. Let's look at verses 10 through 14. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master and set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time.
the time when women go out to draw water. He said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today, and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom you say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, I and I will water your camels also. May she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. One thing to consider here is, what did the servant take on the trip and where did he go? Camels? What's on the camels? Gifts. Specifically, it says 10 camels. And these gifts are from who? Abraham. So he has 10 camels that are loaded with gifts from Abraham. We know Abraham was a very rich and wealthy man. He had acquired great wealth at this point. And so he has all these gifts. It's kind of like a caravan that's traveling, right? With all these gifts from Abraham. Where is he going? Back to Abraham's ancestors, right? Or back to Abraham's family, we should say. Specifically, it says in verse 10 that he went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Nahor being Abraham's what? Brother. Nahor was his brother. What did the servant's prayer to the Lord indicate? That's right. This servant had faith in the Lord himself. We talked a little bit in the past about how Abraham has had influence on others. You see that even with the sons of Heth, last chapter, how they revere him as being a mighty prince among us. Do you think that Abraham has had influence on this servant? I think so too. Again, it shows that a man who serves God, a woman who serves God, can have such influence that it draws other people to serving God too and seeing that mindset, seeing the way that you behave, seeing the way you act, seeing the way you revere God. Because here the servant prays to the Lord of Abraham. And so it shows humility on the part of the servant. It shows faith on the part of the servant, like Pax just mentioned. A trust in the God of Abraham and reverence to him. And you just see, I think, Abraham had some influence on him. I really do think that is true. Even Abimelech, in chapter 21, we talked about Abimelech said that God is with you in all that you do. He had influence. Abraham impacted people when they saw his great faith and the way he acted. What did the servant ask the Lord for? What was that? A sign. He wants a sign. That's right. He wants to make sure that he does this right. He wants to make sure that the woman that he chooses is what the Lord would have done and would be pleasing to Abraham. He asked for success in verse 12. Give me success. And he asked the Lord to show loving kindness to his master Abraham. He refers to Abraham several times saying, please show loving kindness to my master Abraham and make this a successful journey. And he asked for a sign to know whom the Lord has appointed for your servant Isaac. He wants a sign. And then, how would the servant know who to choose for Isaac? How would he know? What is the sign that he asked for? That's right. That's right. So he's saying, I will go up to the women at the well. When they come out to water and go to the well and water, gather water, I will ask her for a little drink or ask her for a drink. The woman will respond and give me a drink, but she will also say, let me water the camels also. Interesting side note here. How many camels were with the servant? 10. These camels can store water, right? But camels, do they drink a lot of water? Yes. Now, also think about, is this at the end of the journey? As far as to the place, to Nahor, yes, it is, in Mesopotamia. So at this point, do you think the camels are very thirsty when they'll get there? One camel can drink 30 gallons of water in one drinking session. San Diego Zoo website. 30 gallons of water in one drinking session. He is asking for the Lord to provide this sign that a woman would come up and say, let me give you a little drink, but also let me gather, if you take 10 times 30, 300 gallons of water for your camels. Now, I know that's like, that's a large, it probably wasn't that much, but think about that. This would have been a task. This wouldn't have been just something that a typical, I think, woman at this time, you know, because he's a stranger and a sojourner and he's a servant, oh, well, we just go out of our way and we just offer to water all the camels all the time. This was a very unique thing that he's asking the Lord to provide as a sign, because this would show a lot about this woman. If this woman, Rebecca, who it will be, is this type of character where she would not only say, hey, I'll give you a drink when you ask, but also I'm going to go out of my way and water your camels, your 10 camels, with that much water? That's substantial. That's very substantial. That says a lot about who this woman's going to be and the character of this woman, to be a servant and humble at the same time. Any comments about this section so far? Yeah, Pax? Yeah, well, there's one that was worse. There was one I showed Courtney last night, and the camel's mouth was like this, and she's pouring it in the camel's mouth. So I joked, and I said, should I use that one? Because, I mean, I can't imagine, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I thought the same thing. That's right. But this would have been quite the task for a woman to do this. Rose? Uh-huh.
So, you're
dealing
with quite a bit of
Yeah. It's tiring. Right. This would have been exerting some energy here. It really would show love on the part of the woman who would do this. Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. And I will say at this time, when it's referred to as Mesopotamia, supposedly it was not called Mesopotamia at the time when this was written. That was a term that came later. But he is he's going to his brother's house and to his family.
In history today, this region is called the cradle of civilization,
because they believe this is the origin of where the people are. Well, it has to be because it says it specifically names rivers, right? Let's look at these next verses, verse 15. Before he has finished speaking, so he's praying to the Lord, before he's even done with this prayer, asking for the Lord to deliver a sign, who comes out? Rebecca. It says, behold, Rebecca, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham, brother of Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had relations with her, and she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now, when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw. And she drew for all the camels. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence, to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. So here we learn a little bit about Rebecca. We know just a little bit about her just because of the end of chapter 22, a little bit about her genealogy and how she is a relative of Abraham. But I really do appreciate here that before he had finished speaking, Rebecca comes out with a jar. Is that a quick response on the part of the Lord?
Yes.
Prayer's not even done. Happens. There's Rebecca. Rebecca comes out. And the Lord shows loving kindness to this servant, to his master Abraham, just as he had prayed. What is said about Rebecca? Well, she was born to Bethuel. She was Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham, Abraham's brother Nahor. Is this what the servant's looking for, is a relative? Yes, he's got it right here. This is a relative. So right off the bat, this is the first woman that he has interaction with. It's the only woman that he has interaction with. It's a relative of Abraham. Also, we are told that she was very beautiful. Reminds you in a great way of how Sarah was very beautiful. Scripture tells us on a few occasions we see that. And also it says that she was a virgin, that she had not known a man, in verse 16. Did Rebekah respond in the way the servant requested of the Lord by giving the servant a drink and watering the camels? The sign, I mean, she answers the message of the sign completely. He asks her, you know, would you give me a drink? She offers to give him a drink. After that, she goes out of her way and says, I will provide water for the camels also. So Rebekah does respond to this request. We are told that the servant was then gazing at her in silence to know whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful or not. He's looking at her and he's trying to make sure this is it. This is the woman. Is this the woman? Is this just like, you know, maybe a fluke thing that has happened here? Is this really her? And so he's wanting to really confirm and make sure that this is her. So he's evaluating her response to see if she is the one who's chosen to be the wife of Isaac. Let's look at verses 22 through 27. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists, weighing 10 shekels in gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me. Is there room for us to lodge in your father's house?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." Again she said to him, "We have plenty of straw and feed and room to lodge in." Then the man bowed low and worshipped the Lord. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers." Right here, let's see, I think, here we go. What did the servant give Rebekah? Two things right here. A bracelet and a ring. The gold ring weighed half a shekel. Verse 47 actually specifies when the servant retells the story. It was probably a nose ring. Now that's a little bit interesting to think about it being a nose ring. But it specifically, the servant calls it a nose ring. A ring for her nose. Why did he give her these gifts? I think there's a couple of things you maybe could say. Why would he give her gifts here? Custom. All right, you could look at it as being a custom. One thing that I read was such nose rings have been given historically as engagement presents in some cultures. So that's interesting. In some ways, like an engagement present. Also, you could say it's a reward for Rebekah's kindness. You could see it that way. But also, it's a sign of the generosity and the wealth of who he's representing, because he is the servant of Abraham, his master. And this is to be the chosen wife of Isaac. Now, at this point, he's still tying some things together, but there's several things that I think would be going through his mind. The value of the nose ring and the bracelets, it says that the nose ring was half a shekel. In today's money, that's probably somewhere around $100 to $300 in value. But when you think about these bracelets, 2 bracelets, 10 shekels in gold, value in today's money is probably over $5,000. So Abraham was a wealthy man, and these gifts were substantial. They were expensive. They were precious gifts given to Rebekah. Why did the servant, or what caused the servant, to bow low, worship, and pray to the Lord? What does he realize after Rebekah speaks about her household? There you go. I found you. There you are. And he realizes this is a woman from Abraham's family. She is a relative of Abraham. So I think, obviously, he must have known Abraham's family tree, I think, when he went. He knew some details, and he knew Nahor's house and maybe some of those types of things, because we know Abraham was informed of it at the end of chapter 22. But we see that he has this action of bowing down to God to praise him. So Abraham instructed the servant in verse 4 not only to go to his country to find a wife for Isaac, but to find a wife from his relatives. And he's thrilled. He found her. Here is this woman from his relatives. This is no accident. This is the Lord answering his prayer. And so he praises God, as he should. Exactly right. So he worships and praises God because his prayer has been answered. The servant was guided by the Lord to the house of his master's brothers, and finding Rebekah was no fluke. This was a work of the Lord to guide him to Rebekah.
The servant tried to find a way to make sure that we already said he took this vow seriously because it's a vow before God, not just by Abraham, but before God. And he said, well, what if I can't fulfill this vow? And, you know, if he is as obedient a servant to God as he is to Abraham, and he takes this vow as seriously, so when he sees Rebecca and he realizes this isn't a coincidence, this is God's divine plan right here taking place, it is not just celebrating God's will be done. It is, honestly, it's relief that this is a vow he can't complete.
Correct. It would have been relieving to him to know that since he is the servant carrying out the master's will, the master's will is Let's look at verse 28 through 32. Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran outside to the man and his servant. When he saw the rings and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister saying, "This is what the man said to me," he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. And he said, "Come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside since I have prepared the house and a place for the camels?" So the man entered the house and laid and unloaded the camels, and he gave strong feed to the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. So here we get a little bit of detail. Were there actually some men with the servant? There were. We don't know how many. It's not specified here, but there were some men with him. But we find that Rebecca runs to her family. She tells them what's just happened. And so Laban responds in an interesting way here. He shows some hospitality to the servant when he comes outside. How does Laban show hospitality to the servant?
There is a bit of Laban and Rebekah. You see them being selfless and being showing humility to a guest and to a servant. You do see that.
He saw the gold.
Now, I think that's part of it, too. I put that up here first. He saw the gold rings and the bracelets. I mean, if his servant's master provided these things, this is a pretty substantial master, right? Now, it is important to note, though, it says that Rebekah went to her family and told them what happened. If Rebekah heard the prayer, because it sounds like Rebekah and the servant are there together when this prayer is petitioned, if she heard the prayer and what he said, then he knows who the servant is from. He knows he's from Abraham. That's right. That's right. He knows all. Therefore, Rebekah's informed. She goes and tells Laban. Laban is informed. This is Abraham, the relative. Like, that connection is made possible, too. So, that's an important note to make here, also. So,
and now, the nose ring is some form of modern engagement ring, you know, of any of that sort. You know, and even if it's not, you know, Laban is a male
Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age, and he has given them all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son. I said to my master, suppose a woman does not follow me. And he said, the Lord, before whom I have walked, will send his angel with you to make your journey successful. And you will take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my relatives. And if they do not answer to you, you will be free from my oath. So I came today to this ring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will make my journey on which I go successful, behold, I am standing by the spring. And may it be that the maiden who comes out to draw from whom I say, please let me drink a little water from your jar, and she will say to me, you drink, and I will draw from your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder, went down to the spring and drew, and I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will water your camels also. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. And I asked her, and I said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, who milked the orphans. And I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist. And I vowed to worship the Lord and bless the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So now if you're going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, let me know that I may return, or that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. What would the servant say to Rebecca's family? Quite a bit, right? He restates, practically, this is restating what we just read. But he starts off by saying he is Abraham's servant. He says that his master, Abraham, is great. He says that his master's son, Isaac, is Abraham's heir. He tells them about Abraham giving him this command to find a wife for Isaac from his father's house, and that the woman was to follow the servant back. And he says at the end, he needs a quick reply. So, what's Laban's response to this? Look at verse 50. Laban and Bethuel reply, the matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you bad or good. Here is Rebecca before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord, and received his humility. The servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebecca. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with them ate and drank and spent the night. When they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us for a few days, say 10, afterwards she may go. He said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the girl, and we will consult her wishes. When they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will go. Thus they sent away their sister Rebecca and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed Rebecca and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000. And may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Then Rebecca arose with her maids and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. What does the response of Laban and Bethuel communicate about their attitude to God and to the Lord?
They
believe. They say, if it's the Lord's will, it's the Lord's will. This is the Lord's will. And they hear how he explains. I mean, the sign is there, and this is the fulfillment of the sign. What will be done? How can we say it's good or bad in our view? It's the Lord's will. And that's a very, very humble attitude to have, a good attitude to have, and a truthful attitude to have. So after hearing that response, the servant bows himself to the ground again and shows gratefulness to the Lord for blessing him and finding a wife for Isaac. The servant gives precious gifts to Rebecca, silver, gold, and garments. Gives also gifts to Laban, to Rebecca's mother. And then the next morning, the servant desires to take Rebecca and return back to his master. How does Laban respond? Yeah. 10 days? Do you have 10 days? And she saves us 10 days. And he says, I really need you to go. give to have this blessing from her family prior to her departure from home. And so in many ways, we're wishing for her to be fruitful. Similar in some ways to the blessings that Abraham's had as far as having many descendants, right? As the sand of the seashore and as the stars of the heavens. To be fruitful and multiply and for her descendants to be blessed. Let's look at these last few verses. Verse 62. Now Isaac had come from going to bear live oil, for he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field before he knew, and he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel, and she said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "He is my master." And she took her veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Verse 67. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Verse 63 tells us that Isaac went out to meditate in the field 40 years. The word used here, a Hebrew word, is the only time that this specific Hebrew word is actually used in the Bible. There are other words used in the word meditate that are very similar. But the meditating that we have here shows, I think, on the part of Isaac, spiritual mind. In many ways, possibly meditating on the Lord at this time. Also, the servant brings Rebekah to Isaac, and she becomes Isaac's wife. Isaac loves her. How old was Isaac when he married Rebekah? It doesn't say it here, but it does in the next chapter.
40.
He's 40. So he's 40 years old at this point when Rebekah and Isaac become husband and wife. And also, something I think is interesting here at the end of verse 67, Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We know how Abraham reacted when Sarah died, that he wept and he mourned. But we don't have any recording whatsoever in chapter 23 about how his son grieved. But here we are told he was grieved. This was a blow to him for the loss of Sarah. And so he brings Rebekah to his mother's tent, and he is comforted.